Hi, everybody. It's Madeline.
And it's Aaron.
We're outside today because it's really nice. Don't worry, we're on a porch. We're social distancing.
We are social distancing both from each other and from the world.
Yeah. But we're outside today on the porch because it's really, really nice outside. I've been cooped up all week. I haven't been outside at all because, you know, of what's going on right now. Let me check my weather app because it is so nice outside. It's warmer out here than it was in the apartment. 74 degrees right now outside. So if you hear cars
wind chimes, children playing, dogs barking,
yeah,
you'll know
it's
why.
Because we're outside. But we have some Star Wars stuff to talk about. Obviously, it's why we're doing this. But before we do, I would just like to dedicate today's podcast. It's not much, but I would like to dedicate today's episode to Hal. She passed away, as we all learned this morning. It's March 20th. And, you know, the whole Reylo community is really saddened to hear about that. I didn't know her personally, but I have seen, you know, just how much she touched so many people's lives. And, like, I have friends who were pretty close to her. And, of course, they're really devastated. So, you know, gonna dedicate this to her. And we're sending all the love to her family right now. And, yeah. So, that being said, let's get into it.
What are we getting into?
The news that dropped today was that Ahsoka Tano may be in The Mandalorian Season 2.
Which is dope.
Yes. And it was kind of a mixed bag because some people were like, oh, well, one news story was like, oh, it's Rosario Dawson is going to play her.
Yeah, Peter and then, is the one, slash film is the one.
Yeah, and everybody kind of just was like, I love how, by the way, it was totally quiet before we started our podcast, and now, like, there's a parade of, like, a guy just came by with his kid in one of those loud car things, and now a dog is barking because of it. It's like, just...
Welcome to live production.
Yeah, anyway, but yeah. So they were saying that Rosario Dawson was going to play her, but then somebody else tweeted I'm not going to lie. I didn't
some
look at his profile.
Twitter.
I assume he has some authority, but he was like, from what I've heard, they haven't casted her yet.
Screw all that. Peter till I die, man. Slash Film's always been on point. He wouldn't report that if he didn't have a call.
Yeah, yeah.
Peter's never steered me wrong, so I'm down with his report of Rosario Dawson.
But obviously, this was very conflicting for fans of Ahsoka, like myself, because Rosario Dawson is currently, you know, being sued for violently assaulting a trans man. And it's really, you know, it's really messy. And it's like, I don't want to say too much because it's still ongoing and whatever. But also it's like,
also, we weren't there and we don't know the details.
No, we weren't there and we don't know the details. But I'm like, the way that somebody did some reporting on it, the New York Times, and when I looked into it, they were like, the main problem that's been happening right now is that the man claiming that she and her family assaulted him is like a poor handyman and he's having trouble trying to fund, you know, being able to sue her.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
and
legal.
Like, I'm sorry, but I'm like, I just don't see somebody like that. Like, just a handyman, like, right now struggling to, like, maybe win this case. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Unless it actually happened.
It has some merit, which is entirely possible. I mean, like I said, I wasn't there. I don't know. I also don't think Rosario Dawson was walking down the street and said, hey, I'm going to attack this trans man. Like, there were events that led up to this that I'm not aware of that most people are.
According
in
to
the dark
it's
about.
Important to note this, too. It's not like they had some, like, personal beef, and then she assaulted him, and then that man was like, oh, by the way, I'm trans. It said in the article that I read that she was hurling transphobic insults at him while it was happening.
Right.
And I don't know if him being transgender was the cause of it. I doubt it. But regardless, the fact that it exposed her true colors in terms of, like, if she hadn't said anything to him about it before, and then when they got into this thing and she, you know, used that kind of language, then that still is
No, it's problematic. There's no doubt about it. But my thing with this is always, and you and I have talked about this, and I know we disagree, but especially when it comes to actors. But I'm kind of like this with all creative endeavors, but especially when it comes to actors. Their literal job is to pretend to be someone else. And when they're doing that, I don't care. Like, yes, can an actor be a horrible person when not on screen and living their daily life? Without question. I'm sure many of them are. I know a few. Maybe not to that level, but I know some terrible people who are great actors. I don't care once her performance is on the screen. If she gets the job, if she doesn't, I don't know. That's not under my control.
Yeah, but you don't want to enable people when there are already so many other people who could do the job.
I'm not enabling her.
I'm not saying you're enabling her, but I'm saying if I were a casting director, it's like, do you know how many options you're going to have to fucking cast somebody as Ahsoka Tano? Do you know how coveted that role is?
Of course.
And you pick, like, I don't know. It's just like, it's the same thing as like Woody Allen to me. You know what I mean? Like, one accusation.
I mean, yeah, Woody Allen's to me is a very different beast. I mean, I don't know. I think that's a little more straightforward, and he still has plenty of opportunities and avenues, and that's what I mean when I talk about actors. Like, Woody's writing scripts and creating movies. That's a collaborative art form. You need other people to work with you, and if no one wants to work with them, well, then he doesn't get to work. I mean, that's pretty cut and dry. But if you're an actor, you're literally pretending to be someone else.
Yes, I know, but my point is, I don't think that she should be able to. At least not
fine.
Until this thing is
that's fine.
And settled.
Like, and you know what? And she might not, and who knows? Maybe we get to the point where she gets removed from the project, and then whoever else steps in her place, and they play Ahsoka, and then I'll watch it.
And also, something that, to me, felt very, like, icky about it was, like, the current culture of Star Wars after The Rise of Skywalker is already in very, like, the way that they fed into bigotry in The Rise of Skywalker.
If we haven't gotten to the point now where we completely understand that Lucasfilm doesn't give a shit.
I know. I tweeted that this morning. I was like, it's very clear that Lucasfilm already doesn't care about bigotry, but this still sucks.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
I was like, between sidelining Rose Tico and what they did to Rey and, you know, not allowing Finn Poe to be a thing,
right.
like casting that off, it's like, I get it, Lucasfilm. Like, you were fucking terrified of losing your, like, 20-year-old male fans.
Right. Or some of your 40-year-old male fans,
yeah,
too.
True. But, you know. I guess my question is, at what cost? Because when you did something like The Last Jedi, right? It was the first one, like, that was more feminine-based and whatever. And it's like, look at all the fans you gained from that.
Yeah.
Look at all the money you made from the fans that you brought in with this new project.
The problem is the backlash, and it always has
been.
You know, you go off of that, and you see Solo bomb, but that's down to Iger moving up the
release date. Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's more of a release date.
But that you can't dismiss the fact that the division in the fan base coming off of Last Jedi is where it started, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what Disney's been running scared ever since.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
I agree, but I also think there needs to be, at Lucasfilm, a clearer vision for, like, what they want to do. And it's funny because in the literary spot, like, the High Republic stuff, they were like, we're going to have a story for every type of fan. But
right.
I feel like when they say things like that, they just think about different pockets of the world that people want to visit and not genre-wise, like, what people might want to see.
Well, I don't know about that. That's not how I read it. That's not, like,
know.
Some of the press release stuff and the presser that they had. Sure sounds like they're going to try at least to do what you're talking about as far as like a more kind of romantic story, a more adventure story, a more, you know, character-driven story.
I just,
which would be cool.
I don't know. I
just wish it went into the films.
Yeah. I don't know. It just, The Rise of Skywalker was like really making a statement about like, if you push back enough.
Right.
Like, if you throw a big enough of a hissy fit, we will say, oh my god, I'm so sorry, I take it all back. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not a way to make movies. Like, you have to do them with conviction.
Well, no,
and my biggest problem with The Rise of Skywalker is that it had no conviction.
No, but here's the problem. Like, you're already working in the constraints of A, Lucasfilm, but B, now Star Disney. Wars, which is a corporate entity.
Yeah.
Once Lucas sold it, yeah. Those are your constraints. That is what it is. It is all about, I mean, because look, if any of this was, you know, a concern as far as you want people who are passionate about making movies, who are all in on telling stories and being original while doing so, she never would have fired Lord and Miller.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that was, you know, the moment that happened, I mean, we already had Rogue One with Tony Gilroy coming in, like, quote-unquote saving it tearing it apart and changing the entire film that Gareth had put together. But now you fire the most original, most passionate storytellers, it could be argued, in modern cinema, who, by the way, went on to everything they touch is gold.
Yeah.
And you fired them.
Yeah.
So you could have a more traditional take and, quote-unquote, more Star Wars, which means, in their world, more
safe. Yeah, I was going to say, like, more safe.
That's what they want. They want cookie cutter. They don't want chances taken.
Yeah.
But so that's where it is right now. But what is the one kind of pushback to that, which I always kind of go back to and find really interesting, is how much Kathleen Kennedy seemed to be, at the time, so all in on Rian Johnson.
That's what, okay.
You know what
I mean? Was just about to say that to you, because I was like, that's the one thing that I don't fucking understand.
Because it makes no sense.
She fucking loves The Last Jedi.
And
she loves
Rian.
She wanted him to do his own trilogy. That's how much she loved Rian. But then now,
he's the one guy she didn't fire.
Exactly. But now,
and JJ, but.
But that's what I don't get. I'm like, this is why I was like, Mickey paw prints were all over Tross. Because I was like, the woman who loved The Last Jedi would not have loved this movie in an equal amount. You know what I mean? I don't.
See, but I don't. That I think is true. I think it's not so much that she doesn't love the movie. I think she loves JJ.
Yeah.
She trusted
JJ
to deliver the end of the Skywalker saga. She wasn't concerned about the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she wasn't concerned with, does this carry on Rey's narrative? Does this carry on?
Anybody was concerned about that.
But that's my point. Everyone at Lucasfilm was concerned about wrapping up the 9 films.
Yeah.
It wasn't about the sequel trilogy characters. It wasn't about any of that. It was about ending that saga. That's all they cared about. And she trusted JJ to do that.
And I said, it's like, isn't it fucking crazy? We've never had a woman direct a Star Wars movie,
but we
had the guy who said publicly several times, "I can't write endings. Write the ending to this 40-year saga."
Yep.
Isn't that fucking crazy? Like, it's not actually crazy. It's just like life. But I'm like, I don't know. I guess it's just a shame. It's like, I have friends that are going into film, and part of the reason they are is because Star Wars inspired them and you know, sparked that passion. And I'm like, it sucks because I have these creative friends with like amazing ideas, and I just know that they're not going to be able to direct a Star Wars movie probably in their lifetime.
Maybe another
40
years, you know, when they're
because I'm just like, the way, the take back of it. I was like, I thought The Last Jedi was like, oh, they got a lot of backlash, but it was a huge critical and commercial success, and it brought in
a
new fan base. So yeah, I was like, okay, so what they're going
to
do now with the sequel trilogy is like, despite the backlash of maybe some of the original trilogy fans, would it was about like, we're passing the baton, you know what I mean, we're bringing in a new generation and new fans and people who love Star Wars for different reasons, and then The Rise of Skywalker came out and it was like,
the thing though. I think obviously this won't happen with Mandalorian because it is such a callback. I mean, it literally happens right after Return of the Jedi, and we've already had one season where it's very clear they are very much calling back to OG fans. Now, Baby Yoda has obviously transcended all that.
Yeah.
And maybe with Ahsoka coming in season 2, that some of that will start to change. But I do think now that the Skywalker saga is put, a bow has been put on it.
Yeah.
I do think there's an opportunity, and I do think they will take it to open up the world to differing viewpoints and or backgrounds as far as who they hand this IP to, basically. Because
I don't think so.
I do. If you look at like what have they done since, you know, they had to wrap this up, right?
Yeah.
They had to.
Yeah.
And they already had the Mandalorian going.
Yeah.
And now they've come up with
and
this,
the things
this
that
old,
they have on the table right now are just,
well,
Kenobi and Cassian
that
and
we know of and that they've already shelved, but we don't know what else they've worked on.
No, I guess not. I just, you know what? The culture there, the employees' behavior, like
now,
I just
No. And I know there are many outward-facing employees who have been on social media. Many, I want to say a handful.
I'm not saying but they represent the whole company.
Of course they don't. That's why everyone puts on their Twitter handle, my opinions only.
My friend was at the premiere, and she was like, yeah, I overheard a bunch of Lucasfilm employees who didn't like the decision-making story-wise for Rey specifically. Yeah, they said there were grumblings about Rey Palpatine / Skywalker there.
But that's what I mean. But, it's like, it's so corporate. It is such a business. Yeah. I can't paint the whole company with that brush. I just can't.
Regardless, I was also going to note that Alfred Hitchcock. I was also just going to note that I think it's interesting that news broke today because Gina posted that The Mandalorian wrapped a couple days ago.
Yeah, last week, I think.
Yeah, so I was like, isn't it weird that the news broke post the season ending and not pre the season beginning?
No, I think that makes a lot of sense because I think stuff wrapped and it went to post-production and someone in post leaked it.
Yeah.
That's what, because my guess there. I found it interesting because Ahsoka's back in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
She, literally the new Clone Wars episode dropped this morning and she is a focal point in it.
Yeah.
And if she hasn't been in Clone Wars since we saw her walking away from the Jedi Temple from Anakin back in the day, and now literally that news breaks on the day that Ahsoka's back in our lives. So,
yeah.
I mean, regardless, whoever ends up playing her, I just love the idea that we're going to get a live-action Ahsoka. She's one of my favorite characters ever in the history of Star Wars, so I'm excited about it.
Now, live-action Ventress.
I mean...
Do it.
You got to make that happen. Because no one else has the passion for that character.
I was going to say nobody cares about her except me.
That's not true.
But
you know that's not true.
I don't know. I just...
How many Ventresses did you see at Celebration?
Two.
See? So that's at least three people.
I ran.
Plus myself,
I was looking for one the entire week. And when I finally found one, I was across. She was behind the Funko Pop booth and... it was like a mini store. Oh, motorcycles, of course.
Oh, douchebags. What's up, douchebags? Going the wrong way on a one-way street.
They're literally going the wrong way on a one-way street, popping wheelies on these motorcycle things.
Real social distancing.
They probably loved Tross.
Yeah.
But,
that's the Tross, brand right there.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, but I, ran across the whole convention, and I tripped just getting over to her, and I was like... Oh my God, your outfit's amazing. Can I please get a picture? It's I love Ventress. She's awesome. She's so great.
So I'm saying, you got to make that happen.
I know.
Write a script. Write a spec script.
Anyway.
Send it to Lucasfilm.
You're not allowed to submit things to Lucasfilm. I've tried.
All right.
They don't take submissions because then if they use something that's similar,
you can sue them. Yeah,
so, you're not allowed. And I'm like, I don't care if you steal my work. The whole point is I want you to do it. I don't want to work on it. You do it.
Just make the movie and put it on YouTube.
Ugh, I'm not going to be one of those guys.
Why not?
We're having a fan viewing of, our movie tonight.
You're doing that for Ryan Johnson tonight, so.
No, that's an actual movie, not me making a movie because I'm mad about the other movie.
Teasing.
Could you imagine if I started a GoFundMe right now?
Let me tell you something.
Remake episode 9.
Slide back and listen to the news, 18-year-old. People were making fan Star Wars films long before douchebags who hated Last Jedi started making fan Star Wars
films. I know.
Literally, George Lucas himself gave everyone permission to make Star Wars fan films. And he said, go ahead. Just don't profit from it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, make all you want. So that has been around. It has been a glorious tradition in Star Wars fandom for decades.
Yeah.
Longer than these douchebags have been around. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Next thing is we need to talk about the Rise of Skywalker documentary.
Unfortunately, we can't let it pass us by.
That's true. That is true. But basically, once again, Adam Driver... seems to be the only person who gives a fuck about how Ben Solo was portrayed in this movie or his character, arc, or his, mindset.
It's really
interesting listening to JJ and Chris versus Adam because it's Adam, time he talks, always comes from a point of his character's motivations.
Right.
And JJ always comes at it from... he's a part of this legacy and his grandparents. Do you know what I mean? And it's interesting because anybody who knows anybody about Ben Solo knows that that was the whole reason Rey and him were so great. It's like the yin and the yang of like this person who is tied to this like dynasty basically, and like this legacy, and he was born, and in one of the Kylo comics he's like, Luke Skywalker, Snoke, they don't see me as a person, I'm just a set of expectations. Like, that was his burden to carry, is like, you know, Anakin and Leia and all, and Han and everything. And then for Rey, it was like the opposite of like, you have no legacy, you need to establish who you are on your own. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's your burden to carry. But it's funny because like, I don't know, JJ was just like, no. He's the son, he's, you know.
See, but this is my point. This is what I was saying
he's
before.
He's the kid.
But that's, you're talking about, like, yeah, that's exactly how he sees it, because that's what, he was hired as a Ronin halfway through the production to come in and quote-unquote fix what Trevorrow had started. And it's like, he was charged with wrapping the 9 films. That is what Lucasfilm wanted him to do. They weren't worried about the character arcs and what Ben Solo means and how he relates to Rey. They didn't give a shit about that. They just wanted to wrap up the 9 films. And that was his job, and that was his charge, and that's what he did, and that's why he saw it that way. It's unfortunate. I hate it. I think, like you, I think it real did a real disservice to the characters. But it's clear, like you said, every time he talks in this documentary, it's all about where he's, like, his lineage and where he's, his parentage and grandparents came from, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I know, what about the dude? What about the man himself?
Well, that was part of my problem, though, was because in this documentary, Adam talked about reverse Anakin,
right,
which has been talked about since The Force Awakens. Sure. Like, that was the whole point, was, like, the invert of that story, I guess. And, like, I thought about it, and Adam always talked about it before this documentary, is, like, it's not somebody going from the light to the dark, it's somebody going from the dark to the light.
Yeah.
And, like, I thought the whole... It's funny talking about it now, because I'm like, every time I talk about trust, I'm like, but I, all the, like, I'm like, but it, I'm like, it doesn't, I don't understand, but it was like, I don't know, I just, it was supposed to be like, Ben goes from the dark to the light, he's firmly established in the dark when you meet him, gets more and more conflicted, and then he turns to the light. That was how it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be inverted Anakin, and he talked about that in like, the Force Awakens era and the Last Jedi era, and then in this documentary, he's like, actually, it's about somebody getting more and more established into the dark side. And I'm like, okay, but that's not what you were spitting for the last 2 movies, Adam. So I know JJ said something to you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I was like, why? Like, I don't. Why would he get more? Why would he not be more conflicted post The Last Jedi?
Right. After everything that happened.
Yeah, and it's like, and there was no reason for him to die. Even if you are wrapping up 9 movies, no reason for him to die.
Oh, yeah, there was zero reason for him to die.
And I'm like, wouldn't the 9 movies have been better wrapped up if they had ended up together and, like, brought balance to the Force, and you would have had one person who was, like, the legacy, and then one person who was, like, the new generation?
This is well-covered territory.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm sorry. I just can't. It's like everything. And can I just say my number one thought about the documentary is this?
Sure. Yeah.
Stop giving us your fucking commentary. Stop it. Terrio, stop doing interviews.
Oh, yeah.
Stop doing documentaries. Stop doing fucking press releases. Star Wars confirms this. Just shut the fuck up. This movie is awful. We all hate it. Every time you release something new, we're all like, what the fuck? Because it's so bad. Please stop talking about it. Because the movie itself was painful enough, but every single time you release some behind-the-scenes bullshit, it becomes more and more obvious how little you guys knew what you were doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You sound like a bigger and bigger moron every time you try to explain your decision
making. And it's clear it infected the entire creative team, because like when the producer talks or Kathy talks or anybody in like had any tangentially connected to the creative decision making talks in this documentary, it's like what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like I know, like every time one of them
speaks, that
I'm
production
like, what are you talking
lady
about?
Who was like, the great tragedy is we don't have him in the film
for
very long.
I
was like, I
literally got
you're
up and walked out.
Making the movie.
Right.
We all thought he was gonna turn in the first act.
Yeah.
You make the movie. What do you mean it's a great tragedy? Fix it. Like,
instead of making it a great tragedy, maybe don't?
Yeah, it's like somebody just jumped into a bucket of ice water and complained that they're cold.
I don't get it. Are you kidding me?
Like, and she did it with that like sadistic smile on her face. I'm like, good lord.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that kind of sucked was like, I mean, I don't know, but the way I didn't watch the documentary the whole way through. I just watched all the pieces that were important, really.
Yeah.
Talked about Rey and Kylo mostly. But the way that they talked about the expansion of that relationship post episode 8 to me made no sense.
Right.
Like, because Daisy was like, we have to go past where they were in 8. There has to be some rage there. I'm like, yeah, there's been rage there since day one. She nearly kills him in the first movie. You know what I mean? Like, they've always had rage. That's not a new thing that you're adding. I think what this movie lacked...
You're parsing a little bit there. I think I understand what she's saying. It's like Rey is pissed that the entire universe, like she says in the movie, that is a great line where she says, people keep telling me they know me. I don't think anybody does. Like, you know, she's like pissed. Like, people stop trying to define me.
Yeah, but she's talking about Rey and Kylo in that quote. She's not talking about Rey.
No, I know, but Kylo's part of it. Kylo's part of everything. You know?
Yeah, but
like,
he's not part of that. The whole point is he is the one person who does understand
her. He thinks that. She doesn't.
Yes, she does.
No, she clearly says it.
Yes, she does. She's talking to Finn when she says, nobody understands
me. Yes, I know.
That's why the trailer had the line, but I do.
I know.
That was the whole point. He was the one person who understand the cross she was carrying.
He thinks he does. I don't think, but to my point is, that is what she's talking about there. I think leaning into the rage is a great idea. I mean, and I think they accomplished that somewhat in this film. I think she did as an actress.
I just didn't think that it was interesting. Some of the lines were good, but I didn't think it was interesting for them to have this, like, emotional regression. Like, I understand there being some resentment from the way things left off in the last...
You're prescribing emotion to these characters when there was, like, you know, they were given very little to...
I know, but it's like, in The Last Jedi, the way things left off, Ryan said, he was like, they're still enemies, but now they're complicated enemies. And when I watched this movie, I didn't get that sense at all. Like, if you hadn't seen the first two movies, you'd just be like, oh, yeah, it's the bad guy and the good guy. You know what I mean? You wouldn't think that they had
that's not true, but then they have the fight on the Death Star, and then she says the great line about,
yes,
I wanted to take
yes,
Ben's hand.
Yes, I know. That is a great line and a great moment, and that is, I agree. But I'm saying, like, I'm just thinking about it, I guess, when she says that in the documentary, the scene that they're shooting is the fight when she's in his chambers and he's on the planet.
First one. Yeah.
And it's like, that was nothing. That was nothing. And then, like, the Force bonds and all of them, they're fighting. And it's like, I don't know. For me, I was just like, we left them in this really, really interesting place. And I think I would have loved it if they had had time to talk in private, not fighting.
Yeah.
Like, they could still be angry,
okay, but not
physically
but Madeline,
fighting.
You're asking for talking
I know.
In a Star Wars film, which JJ is never going to give you.
And I know, but that's what it would have been better.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
I
and not physically fighting. My favorite, I think, Force Bond in that movie was the one where she's, like, serving a new master, and he's like, are you still counting the days? Because it's like, that shows that they know each other, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and, like, know which buttons to push.
Yes, 100%.
And, like, I really, really loved that sort of idea, and I thought that that's where we were going to open in the film.
Right.
I don't know.
I will say, I know you're loath to give credit to anything that they do at Lucasfilm at this point, but they're going back and unearthing the behind-the-scenes archival footage for a lot of the documentary was absolutely amazing. There was stuff in there that I have never seen, and I've seen everything.
I know you have.
Anything that's ever been made public, I've seen a million times over. And there was stuff in this doc that I've never seen before, ever. So to that alone made it worth it for me.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
It's funny. Everybody on my timeline when that documentary was coming out was like, fucking the Skywalkers. I've never hated the Jedi more than I do right now. It's like,
y'all are so much.
It's just hilarious. It's just funny because it's like, I think the whole movie was made in order to, like, I don't know. I guess JJ was like a Luke Leia shipper as a child, and he's having his like final revenge through Tross. But like, it was funny because the whole movie was just basically made to like, not to be gross, but like fap to like Luke and the Skywalkers and all of that. And then coming out on the other side of it, I think the new generation of like kids who got into it because of the sequel trilogy characters came out of it fucking hating like all that shit that we actually really liked before because it pulled the rug out from under our characters, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now we're like super resentful about it. We're like, I love Leia so much, but I'm like, like I love her so much, but I'm like, the way they used her in this movie was so like awkward and weird.
Bad. We've talked
and
about
like that thing,
like,
I it's no, bad. I know. And that awkward thing at the end when they come through and she's like wearing her fucking holier than thou, like, whatever. My point is, you've made me resent the Skywalkers forever in a movie called The Rise of Skywalker. So
well done. Good job, JJ.
Yeah.
All right, anything else?
No, there is no more Star Wars news. I have to run because I am hosting the Last Jedi Watch Party in about an hour. So, you know.
You hosting a Last Jedi Watch Party?
Yeah.
That's incredible. I never would have expected it.
Hashtag Raylo's Watch TLJ. Metastream.
I'll be playing Madden.
Yeah.
Have a good time. Bye.
Okay, bye.
May the Force be with you.